How many of you feeling good today? You feeling good and blessed? You had a good Christmas? You had a good Christmas? And how many of you ready for a new year? And if you're alive and you're sitting here today, you need to thank the Lord that He gave you another year of life. Another year of life. And we want to wish Pastor Tim a happy birthday. He's 60. 60. 60. Man, that's old. That guy's old. But he's spent half those 60 years working here at his church, amen? And so we're thankful for him. And anybody else have a birthday this week? Stand up, look a lot today. Oh, congratulations. You get a free coffee out there. He's telling Pastor said I get a free coffee. It's my birthday. I'll get in trouble for that. But and my wife's sitting down here in the front row. Honey, stand up. Let them see you. Stand up. Now, you know, once every 3 months, she wanders in here. So we're glad she's here in church today. And I got word before church that Pastor Jack Hayford had passed. And I'm sitting down here worshiping, and it got to me. But he was a senior pastor at Church on the Way for many, many years. And just a great man. A great man. But keep his daughter's name, Rebecca. Keep her in your prayers. I know this is going to be a tough time for them. But I'm sorry about that. I can't help myself sometimes. Anyway. Got to gather myself. But anyway, I'm glad you're here today. Aren't you glad you're here today? That song. But it's kind of a critical weekend for us here because if you're new, we do this every year at the start of the year. We kind of give the theme and the direction for the next 12 months. And so that's why we're here today. I want to share a little bit of that with you. And it's kind of like when you go down to LAX and you get on a plane, you want to make sure you're on the right plane. You know what I'm talking about? You know every day people get on the wrong plane. You do know that, right? And can you imagine you think you're on the right plane? You're going to Hawaii, you take off and you realize this plane is going to the North Pole. That would be discouraging, amen? But today, as I look around this audience, it's you know, we come from all different walks of life, and we all have different levels of spiritual maturity. And there are people here today that have been believers a long time, and they're rock solid in their faith. And we have people here, this is their first time to ever walk in this building. And it's weird to preach knowing that there's so many people at so many different levels of their walk, their spiritual walk. And what's important, I think it's very important at the start of the year, is for you to at least have some awareness of where you stand spiritually. How spiritually mature are you? Are you new in your faith? Have you been walking with the Lord like Jack Hayford for his whole life? And the point I'm making is this is the time to make an assessment, because wherever you are today, you want to make sure that a year from now, because I'm not sure you can do this day to day, but you want to make sure that a year from now that you're closer to the Lord than you've ever been before, that there should be some type of progress, amen? And we should always desire to be growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Now, whenever I talk about the theme, you know, I do this every July, August. I take some time and everything I'm about to share with you, the Lord put all this on my heart this last summer, and I always look backwards. I want to go forward, but I want to look back and see where we've been before we decide where we need to go. And the last 3 years have been the best of times, and it's been the worst of times. It's been both. The worst of times is that when COVID hit, that churches across this state shut their doors. And partially because the governor up in Sacramento, I don't know if he even knows what's going on half the time, but he deemed that the church was non-essential, and he shut the doors. He literally said that all churches have to close their doors, and almost every church in this state closed their doors. Now, he deemed that casinos are essential, so he left casinos open during COVID. And he deemed abortion clinics as essential, so he left the abortion clinics open. He deemed that liquor stores are essential, so during COVID, he left the liquor stores open. He deemed that Starbucks was essential, so you could go to Starbucks. But you couldn't go to church because our government said that the church is non-essential. There came a time where he said, and I'm not here to bash him, I'm just telling you the facts. He said that the church could meet outdoors, but you couldn't sing. He said this, you can't sing and you can't say the Lord's Prayer. Okay, now this is the United States of America. This is the state of California. And our governor says you can meet, but you can't sing. What we just sang, how many of you just sang? He said you can't sing, and he specifically said, I don't know why, I don't know where this comes from. These people come up with this stuff. You can't say the Lord's Prayer. So eventually we opened up an outdoor venue, and we called his office because we have his number. And we called, you know, it's 100 degrees in the middle of August here. It's terrible. It's hot, right? So we call his office and we said, hey, if we meet outdoors and we're socially distanced, we stand 6 feet apart and we all wear masks, can we sing? Can we say the Lord's Prayer? And they said, hold on. And you could hear him talking in the office, you know, his team, they're all talking. We're waiting for an answer. They pick up the phone, they go, no. Even if you're outdoors and you're socially distanced, you have a mask on, you cannot sing and you cannot say the Lord's Prayer. It was the worst of times. We decided to go ahead and open anyway, just so you know. It's okay. And we said, you don't have to come. We know some of you don't want to come. You don't have to come. No one's here. You're not forced to be here, are you? Unless you're this boy down here and his mama brought him. And you should bring your kid to church. He's half asleep right now anyway. You make him brush his teeth, don't you? Don't you make him brush his teeth? Yeah, he would never brush his teeth if you didn't tell him to brush his teeth. And he would never take a shower if you didn't tell him to take a shower. So you tell him brush your teeth, and you're going to church. You should bring him to church. That's what it is. Yeah. But, so where was I? Anybody know where I was? I'm never going to get through this. Call his office if we can. So we decided to open up the doors. And here's what we do. We open up all the doors. So it's a no-touch service. You don't have to touch anything. The bathroom doors are open. We haven't passed an offering plate in 3 years here at this church. 3 years. You've not been here for 3 years and seen an offering plate go by you. Because we don't want to catch any germs. Communion, you pick it up on the way, and we used to do communion. And if you want to come, you can come, and people came to church. Amen? Amen? So the church went from 10,000 people coming pre-COVID. After COVID hit and we reopened for a year and a half, we had 3,000 people. 70% of the church just disappeared, just gone. Meanwhile, the governor, bless his heart, he sent somebody, I don't know who, but someone came to church every week for about a year and a half, and they gave us a citation. And they fined us. Some weekends it was $500. Some weekends it was $1,000. Some weekends it was $2,000. We looked down and said $2,000. And we had to pay it in order to meet. So, it's the worst of times. But it was also the best of times. Let me tell you why. Since we've reopened the last 3 years, we've had more new people show up than we've ever had before. It's crazy. It's crazy. I used to know who some of you are, and I don't know any of you hardly. We've had literally record numbers of people watching online. Our best guess is last year we had 100,000 people from all around the world who tuned into one of our services, 100,000. We also had one weekend last year where we baptized 800 people on one weekend, We also, last year, were able to give $1.5 million to missions all around the world. And then we do everything we can do. We've raised money to help the homeless here in the valley, the crisis pregnancy centers. We just took up an offering where we gave the money to Somalia because there's people there that are literally, they're starving to death by the millions. They don't even have lunch for today. So our Thanksgiving, we had people give money and we sent that on to Somalia. So you are to be commended for all that you've done during this time. I thank the Lord for you. But the working theory, I have this working theory. This is like pre-COVID. We were people of faith. COVID hits and literally our entire nation was gripped with fear. And you could just see it everywhere you went. Like pre-COVID, like God's gonna take care of us. COVID hits like, oh, I don't know if I can get through this. Then we went from faith to fear to just laziness. We kind of got used to watching on TV. And it's just better if I'm just in my robe and I'm drinking coffee and I've got 10 things going on and I've got Dudley over on the screen while I'm walking around the house. I went to church. And that's not church. Someone say amen. Amen. And now we've become faithless as a whole because our nation, the United States of America, is drifting further and further and further away from God right now. Every single survey that's taken today says there are less people going to church, less people reading their Bibles, less people believe that there is even a God. We are becoming an atheistic country. So this year, as a nation, as a people, as a church, we've gone from faith to fear to laziness to faithless. My goal this year is to take this church and get us back to being people of faith. People who walk in faith, people who dwell in faith, people who live by faith. Faith is one of the main themes in the entire Bible as you read through it. There are many different themes in the Bible, but one of those themes is faith because faith is connected to everything a believer thinks, everything a believer does, and everything a believer has. Faith is how you receive salvation. We're saved by grace through faith, so it's connected to salvation. Faith is directly connected to your prayers being answered, and how many of you want your prayers to be answered? Yes. Faith is the foundation of our hope. It allows us to overcome the challenges that we face in this life. We know that faith is tied directly to moving mountains, to seeing mountains move, things that seem impossible. Faith is connected to every healing. Faith is connected to every miracle. Faith is connected to our sacrifice, our giving. Faith is connected to our worship. Faith is connected to doing mission work all around the world and evangelizing this city. Faith is connected to being able to forgive those that are seem to be unforgivable. Faith is connected to receiving the blessings of God in your life. Faith is what allows you to keep going when you feel like giving up. Amen. And the Bible talks about all different kinds of faith. There's enduring faith, simple faith, increasing faith, the testing of our faith, praying faith, kingdom faith, stubborn faith, godly faith, unwavering faith, fickle faith, little faith, lacking faith, and great faith. But let me tell you what our theme is going to be this year. Write this down. Are you ready? Drum roll. Here it is. Audacious faith. Audacious faith. Uh-huh. Everybody say audacious. And write this down. The definition of audacious faith is showing a willingness to take bold steps. to take a bold stance. I know the Bible talks some places. We're not talking about a little bit of faith. We're talking about a lot of faith. Audacious faith is not crawl, I'm gonna crawl. No, it's conquering faith. It's not taking little baby steps of faith. Audacious faith is taking leaps of faith. It's not, I'm not really gonna talk a lot about mustard seed size faith. I wanna talk about watermelon size faith. Faith that gets you out of the boat. Faith that gets you to actually walk on water. Faith to see God turn your life around. Faith, audacious faith, is being bold enough for you to actually go on a missions trip or to say yes when you feel like saying no, to make the church a priority once again in your life, to serve the least of these, to take a dime out of every dollar and give that to the Lord. Faith to believe not in some of God's promises, but faith to believe in all of God's promises. Faith to stand firm till the end of time, amen? So that's the theme, I hope you're ready to be stretched this year. Now quickly, everybody say the word quickly. I wanna go over some of the sermon titles and sermon series. Starting today, everybody say today. We're starting a series called Audacious Faith. And we're gonna go through the book of Joshua. And you can actually take your Bible right now and turn to the book of Joshua, because we're gonna go through chapter one here this morning. And we're gonna talk about possessing your destiny. Chapter one. Next weekend, if you come back, we're gonna talk about saving faith and the story of Rahab in Joshua chapter two. Then we'll talk about entering into the promised land, which is liberating faith. Then obedient faith when the walls of Jericho came down, chapter four. Chapter 10, we're gonna talk about that time in the Bible where it says that the sun stood still. We're gonna talk about astronomical faith. And then we'll talk about Choose You This Day, which is decisive faith. After that, we're gonna do a series called Built Faith Tough. Have you ever heard of that commercial, Built Ford Tough? How many of you like Ford trucks? You're Ford people, that guy right there, that cowboy. So I guess stand up, Larry. That's Larry and a Dallas cowboy. He loves the Cowboys. He's a Ford man. He owned Simi Valley Ford for years. So how many of you Chevy trucks? Oh. Those things break down every week. So, anyway, Ford has this commercial, and I love Ford because, you know, it's in my name, Dudley Rutherford. But you can call me Ruther Chevy if you want. But anyway, sometimes people say, can you spell your name? I'll go R-U-T-H-E-R, and I go S-H-E-V-Y, and they write it down. They go, what? I go, Rutherford. Anyway. Anyway, they have this commercial where they have this truck and it's going over these rocks, and at the tagline is Built Ford Tough, all right? We're gonna do a commercial just like that, except it's gonna be Built Faith Tough. And the idea of that series that we're gonna do is, how does God stretch our faith? How exactly does he grow our faith? It's like a muscle, right? So we're gonna look at these series. I don't wanna go over all of them now, but we're gonna look at adversity, because that's how God, you gotta go through tough times. That's trial, James chapter one. We'll talk about iron sharpening iron, the word of God, it is written, the Holy Spirit and church itself. We're gonna be looking at ways that God stretches us. Then we have the Passion Play in Easter, April 9th. Then we're gonna do a series called the Mount Rushmore of Faith. What is that? The Mount Rushmore. So there's nothing on there. I know. The Mount Rushmore is where you get around and you start arguing about who are the four greatest Lakers who ever played for the lot. Who are the four greatest? Because you gotta leave somebody off the list. You can only pick four. And people get in arguments over this stuff. Who are the four greatest quarterbacks? Who belongs on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks? Does Patrick Mahomes belong on that list? Peyton Manning, see? Does Tom Brady belong on that list? Yes or no? How about Johnny Unitas?
Yes.
You don't even know who he is, but anyway. So the question, the point of this series is, in the whole Bible, what are the four greatest stories of faith in the Bible? Not just the old, not the whole Bible. And we want you to come up with your list. I've already come up with my list, and when you come to church that month, we're gonna have Mount Rushmore up here. We're gonna take off and show you the first one. And then we'll do the second, and do the third, and do the fourth. And I want you to think about who belongs on your list. Who are the four greatest people of faith in the Word of God? Then we'll do a series quickly called Faith University. We're just gonna give you a PhD in faith, okay? All these different verses that just have faith in one verse. Like, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say that mountain move and it will move. So we'll do a sermon on that. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. We'll have a sermon on that. There's a Bible verse that says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we'll have a whole, at the end of that time period and that series, we're gonna figure out how to give you a diploma if you're here. We wanna give you a PhD at Faith University, amen? And then we're gonna do a series called Deep Water. And there's just all kinds of Bible verses that somehow connect faith with water. It's really strange. Like baptism, there's everybody see the water over there? There's something to do with my faith in that water. That there's a story there, a verse. There's a verse in the Bible where faith comes out of a rock, where there's a rock and water starts coming out of the rock. We're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about where Jesus got water in a basin and washed all the disciples' feet. So there's all these verses. We're gonna go deep water in that series. And then the last series, we're gonna go through the book of Hebrews. We're gonna take 10 weeks, the last 3 months of this year, and go through the book of Hebrews, a series called Faith Out of the Shadow. So it's safe to say we're gonna have a great year talking about faith. Amen, 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 amen. Okay, now, take your Bibles and turn Joshua 1. Write this down. Your destiny begins with God's promises. Listen, there is nothing good gonna happen in your life without the promises of God. And God, if you study, he never asks us to do anything until he lays down all his promises for us. So I wanna read through this first part, and we don't have a lot of time left. So everybody say, hurry it up, Pastor. Okay. I wanna give you a little bit of background to Joshua. We'll talk more about this in coming weeks. I know it's a lot to digest here today. But Joshua 1 says, after the death of Moses, everybody say Moses, Momo is bye-bye, he's gone, he died. He went the way of the dodo bird. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' sidekick, he said, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then you and all these people, speaking to Joshua, get ready. Everybody say, get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready to do what? To cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to you, to them, to the Israelites. Now, you should know this. This is the background. Israel had been in bondage to Egypt for 400 years. I'm not talking about 50 years. I'm not talking about 100 years. I'm not talking about 200 years. For 400 years, the Hebrew people were slaves to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians because of their sin and because of their disobedience and because of their lack of faith and trust in God. God sent them to Egypt as punishment. They're there for 400 years. So God then, at the end of those 400 years, he raises up a man named Moses, and Moses is called to lead 1.6 million Hebrew slaves out of Egypt into the land that we call the promised land, the land of Israel, the land that's flowing with milk and honey. So they get to get out of slavery, and they get to go to Israel. And God raised up Moses, and that journey should have taken like 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. But even when they got out of slavery, they continued to disobey. They continued to have lack of faith. So God says, you know what? You're going to have to spend another 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. So you've got 400 years as slaves in Egypt. You got 40 years wandering around the desert. Moses dies. And then God says, Joshua, get ready. It's time. You're going in. Look at verse 3. Here are the promises. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give to them. God leads with promises. Before they ever enter into their destiny, God gave them three promises. I want you to write these down as quickly as you can. He said, I will give you every place you set your foot. You step there, I'll give you that. You step there, I'll give you that. You step there, I'll give you that. That's a pretty good promise. Promise number two, no one will stand up against you. In other words, that's guaranteed victory. Guaranteed. As you're taking those steps, you're gonna face some giants, but I guarantee you those giants will not be able to defeat you. Number three, he says, I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. In other words, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. Just believe in me and believe in these promises. Can you imagine if God said to you today, wherever you step, I will give it to you. You step there, I'll give it. Don't you think that you wouldn't be taking little tiny steps? You'd be taking some audacious, bold steps, knowing that God was going to give you everywhere you stepped, that no matter what enemy you face, that enemy would be defeated. And last of all, you would know that God would be with you, so there would be absolutely nothing for you to worry about or to fear. Do you imagine how that would change the size of your steps? Now, write this down. Your destiny begins with God's promises, but your destiny does include some instructions. Some of you act like you want all this stuff that God has in store, but you don't really need to follow any instructions. You can continue to live however you want to live. And God said, not so quickly. Read these verses if you can. Be strong and very courageous. This is verse 7. Now, he said that back up there in verse 6, didn't he? Uh-huh. Everybody say, uh-huh. He says it again in verse 7. For the second time, be strong and very courageous. And that word means bold. This is audacious faith. I'm going to give you this land, but it's still going to require for you to take some steps of faith. Be bold, be courageous, be audacious. Be careful to obey all. Say the word all. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it, and then you will be prosperous and successful. Verse 9, have I not commanded you here for the third time? Be strong and courageous. That's audacious faith. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We'll be talking about this all year long. The struggle is real. Where God calls you and leads you, and you hear his voice, and there's something within you that goes, I think I'd rather do this. And yet God calls you to do this. And the question is that when God calls, when God leads, when God instructs, the question is, do you have enough faith to obey? Do you have enough faith to say, yes, Lord, to keep walking in faith, to follow his instructions, even if it doesn't make any earthly sense? Will you follow God's instructions? And here's the deal. We're going to talk a lot about this. There's a difference between walking by sight and walking by faith. And most of us, we walk by sight. In other words, we're not doing anything unless this makes sense, unless I can see the outcome. Unless I know I can see and figure it out on my own. That's not faith. Faith is where you don't know how it's going to turn out, but you know that God is leading you and you follow God's voice. You live your life according to the word of God in every area, even if you don't feel like it. You do what God tells you to do, knowing, trusting, and believing that no matter what you're going through, that God will see you through. That's walking by faith. And I don't want to take a lot of time, but as a pastor, looking at his flock, we've become complacent in our faith, sluggish, passive, stagnant. Because I witnessed the church that I've been preaching for decades living in fear, becoming a little lazy, and now just lacking faith in many ways. And I think back to when this church started years ago. There were a handful of people who stepped out in bold faith saying, we don't know how this is going to work out, but let's start a church. And there came a time where we started a school called Hillcrest Christian School, and it's now the Heritage Christian School. But we didn't have any money or land or anything like that. We said, but let's start a school. And there were a handful of people who said, all right, we don't know how this is going to work out, but let's start a school. Now look at the school today. God blessed the faith of those people. Then in 1990, we had like 300 people in a little tiny building. 300 people, little tiny building. And we put up a big banner across the back that said, let's run 2,000 people by the year 2000. In the little tiny building, the little building, 300 people, big sign as you walk. 2,000 by the year, and people looked at that, they looked at me, they thought we were half crazy. But we were stepping out in faith. Then we did this thing called a merger. We merged a Christian church with a Southern Baptist church, two churches from two different denominations. You can't get two churches in the same denomination to join together. And we had all kinds of people who said, that will never work. We had people on the staff who said, that's not going to work. But we decided, if God opened that door to merge these two churches, let's keep walking until God shuts the door. And God kept the door open, and we merged those two churches. We've never had a single problem, really, in the whole history of the thing. It's so miraculous. And then, you know, we built that Family Life Center over there. People thought we're crazy. And then we built that parking structure. Why are you building a parking structure? And then we built this building. People thought we're crazy. And we are half crazy. But we believed in God. Can you say amen? Amen. And I look to where we are as a church. I want to get us back to that point where we're trusting in God. Because right now, we don't do anything right here unless, oh, we can figure that, we can do this. Oh yeah, we got this, we can write this down. Yeah, let's do this plan. And there's nothing that requires a dream that's so great and so large that the only way that dream would ever come to fruition is if God provided and God showed up in a mighty, mighty way. And I wanna get back that as a church. I wanna get that back to you in your individual life, in your home, and in your family. So we have all kinds of things we want to do. We need to start some new campuses, okay? I wanna start a campus in East LA, okay? Oh, well, that'll never work. Yeah, probably with you it won't work. But I think with God's help we can do that. Can you say amen? I want to give more money to missions. We gave $1.5 million to missions last year. Well, we should be given more than that. That's good. That's good. But there are a lot of lost people all around the world. We can do that. I want to raise up more young leaders. You see this wall over here? See that wall? You see how plain that is? You know why that wall's there? Anybody know? Because right now we're building the Passion Play set. And when you come back next week, that wall's gonna look cool. But we just started building. How many of you have seen the Passion Play? So one of the dreams that we have for this year, I've always wanted to do this, we've never done it. I wanna put the Passion Play from this church on nationwide television. Because I've been to it. Anybody who comes in here and sees it, their life's never the same. But it's only our church knows about it. Why can't we film this thing and put it on TV? So we're actually filming. They're actually performing and practicing now. We're gonna film like on January 25th, in January, we're gonna fill this room up with people because usually the Passion plays the week before Easter. We're doing it in January. Well, why are you doing that? Well, because we're gonna film it with professional people and then edit it. And then on Good Friday, the Friday before Easter, we're gonna put that on nationwide television. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, how are you gonna do that? Oh, I don't know, I really don't know how we're gonna do it. And what my prayer is that somebody with a lot of money, like Tyler Perry, if you're listening, Tyler, I got no money here. I want, when it goes nationwide, for somebody to look at it and go, you know what? We need to make that into a Broadway play. Instead of Phantom of the Opera, why don't we have a Broadway play that's called The Passion of the Christ, where people show up and it's the best singing and acting and play of all time? And I want to be a church where we truly care for the least of these. And we help see change happen in this city. But none of that is going to happen with us just coming to church, sitting on our hands, looking around, going, huh, when does this get over? I want to see God do some great things in your life, and I want to see God do some great things in my life, and I want to see God do some great things in the life of this church. As we close, write this down. It's time. It's time. Everybody say, it's time. Say it again. Say it again. It's time to take possession of your destiny. I want you to stand. I want to read the last two verses. Uh-huh. How many of you glad you came to church today? Oh, it's going to be a good year. Before I read these last two verses, we do this every year. We make the theme. We put it on these little notebooks. It's got three little ring binders in it. And you pick one of these up. I think they cost 10 bucks at Pillars. And you can keep track of all your sermon notes for an entire year. Keep that on your shelf. Always have a record of that. But verse 10. Oh, this is so good. Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, don't forget, 400 years in the wilderness, in the slaves, 40 years in the desert. And now he says, 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan and go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Oh, it's time. It's time. You can write this down if you want. Walking in audacious faith is what unleashes God's destiny upon you. I don't want you out here thinking, all right, we're going to do this next year. No, no, no. It's this year. We're not going to walk in faith next month. Let's start walking in audacious faith this month. We're not going to start next Sunday. Let's start this Sunday. Every step you take, God will be with you, and every enemy will be defeated. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Father God, thank you so much for church. Thank you for the music and the worship, the music. I pray that this theme for this year, audacious, courageous, bold faith, will be upon every heart. Every husband, every father, every wife, every mother, every child, to realize that we serve a great God. And how often we take these little tiny steps because we're fearful. And God wants us to take bold steps, knowing the promises of God. That there aren't three promises, there are over 3,000 promises in the Word of God. And every one of them's for us. Father, help us to believe and trust in a God who specializes in the impossible. Bless every man, every woman, every boy and girl. Bring us back safely. Next weekend, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you, and thank you for coming to church today.